One last thing. 2 weeks from today is breakfast. So if you're watching or listening from anywhere in the Tusk County area, 9:30, the 2nd. On the 2nd, we will have breakfast over in the fellowship hall. You will not be disappointed unless you're gluten-free. What a curse. As we open our Bibles today to the 5th chapter of John, we're going to continue working through this chapter and actually finish this morning. One of the great passages in Scripture. You'll find many people out there today, people who call themselves even theologians or learned men of the Scriptures, who make the statement that Jesus nowhere in Scripture claimed to be God. The 5th chapter here, just by reading it, I don't think you can come to any other conclusion as to what he's saying. And as he's trying to use different examples of different forms to communicate this truth, that he is God. And within Christendom, this fact and this fact alone is pivotal in one's understanding of salvation. For if Jesus is not God, manifested in human flesh, who lived a perfect life, who suffered death on a cross, who was buried as proof of that death, and then rose again 3 days later. If any of that is not within your understanding of who Christ is, then you cannot be of him. And that's why this is so important today. This is John's whole purpose in writing this book. The theme of the book is to show Christ as God and to give us reasons to believe in his name. So we're going to continue this morning on that theme. We looked first off in verse 18, where it says the Jews were trying to kill him. This was after he healed somebody, made a lame man able to walk, 37 years sitting on some sort of bed or pallet. Jesus comes by that day and heals him. And instead of being excited, the Jews were upset because Jesus did this on the Sabbath. And instead of kind of moving off into obscurity, instead of trying to downplay the negative factors that the Jews were causing, Jesus instead meets them face to face, and instead of apologizing to them, claims here in this middle part of the chapter that, in essence, paraphrasing, I'm God, I will do as I please. Again, the Jews did not like this. Number one, he was taking everything that they believed and shredding it. Was it really that far from what their belief should have been? I mean, they knew the Old Testament. They knew what it said. But they picked and chose what they wanted to believe and what they didn't. Skipping past Isaiah 53, Isaiah 56. Everything that the Old Testament said about who the Messiah was going to be, how he was going to come. And they skipped over it. And lest there be any misunderstanding of, you know, well, the Jews just, you know, they really didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Verse 18, "For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but was calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." So they knew. They understood. Jesus then used himself as an example, beginning in verse 19, his own testimony of who he was. Last week, where we saw him starting to use God the Father as his testimony, and God showed himself in a couple different ways. First, by the example of John the Baptist, then through Christ's miracles. And we're going to kind of continue this morning in that with the Father's witness, beginning in verse 37. So let's read this morning, verse 37 through the end of the chapter. "And the Father who sent me," just Jesus speaking, "he has testified of me. And you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" Father, help us this morning to see the glorious truth of who you are as we exalt the Son, give him the glory that he deserves. Father, increase our glory of him. Decrease any glory that we have in ourselves. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. It's kind of hard when you work yourself into a quote religious system that has worked for you for some time. The system itself. The Jews had this entire system. Within it, They could be praised. They could be chastised. They could claim to be holy. They could be shown to not be. But everything within that system focused in on them and their actions. We have a lot of that today. I'm much holier than everybody in this room. I was going to say except for Josh, but he removed his tie. Because I wear a tie. Sign of holiness. I learned this from my mentor. Sign of holiness. The fact that it holds my pants up doesn't really mean a whole lot, but... And we have these expectations in our lives. I'm at church every time the doors open. Man, am I better than most of you. Whew. What's it? 2.5? 3 feet? Above everybody? Must mean I'm better than all of you, right? We put our observations in the outward appearance. That's what the Jews did. Saul, after Christ's resurrection and ascension, was persecuting the church. In his mind, the church was no better than a bunch of gnats or mosquitoes or horseflies flying around your head. They were a nuisance. They had no place in the world. They were trying to take glory away from God. So Saul made it his personal endeavor to clear the world of these so-called Christians. There's so much even today that draws our attention away from Christ, away from who He is, away from what He has done for us, and places it on ways that we can feel better about ourselves. Jesus said, "The Father who sent me, He has testified of me." How? How's the Father testified of Christ? We talked last week, there were a few ways. At His baptism, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." At His transfiguration, again, "This is my beloved Son, hear Him." But we're not quite sure how many people actually experienced that or heard from God. But Jesus is going to tell us how God has testified, most importantly. He says, "You've neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form." True statement? Had anybody seen God? Moses? Probably came as close as anybody, but what did he see? Kind of like a shadow. And the glory of his presence as it passed by. Jesus says, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he sent. There are so many good people in this world. Are there not? I mean, I'm sure we can come up with a Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so. The little veteran guy yesterday at Shoney's. Some guy paid for his breakfast. He cried. Man, that's a good man, isn't it? Was he a believer? I don't know. If he was, then he has God's word abiding in him, and he believes in whom God sent. Doesn't matter how good anyone is if that is not a characteristic of their life. And we forget that. I mean, there's two types of people that we meet every day. There's the nice ones, the friendly ones, the happy ones. There's the grouchy ones. And the mean ones. Maybe as far as the hoodlum ones. Am I getting old to use hoodlum? And we see these people. This is dangerous. Show of hands. How many of us love people? Good fair bit. Do we? If we loved people, and we talked about this in Sunday school this morning, if we loved people, what would we do? And, you know, share the gospel. We make it a Christian thing. Good answer, but I brought it a little more baseline this morning. If we loved people, we would not lie to them, and we would tell them the truth. Friendly people, mean people, we would tell them the truth. What is the truth? That you need the word to abide in you and believe him whom God sent. That's the truth. But nice people, they're nice. They must be okay. Mean people, I don't want to spend eternity with them. That's kind of true. I've had those thoughts. Why are people mean? Maybe because they don't have the truth of God within them. Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these that testify. Do you realize that the Jews of Jesus' day They could have all been called, wait for it, Jack Van Impe. Ryan, what is Jack Van Impe known for? Jack Van Impe was known for having the entire Bible memorized. The Jews of Jesus' day were much the same. They had much, if not all, of the scriptures committed to memory. Jesus says, you search the scriptures. You don't have to, you know, you got your computer brain, little Rolodex. You have these things memorized. You search them. You think because of what you've memorized that you have eternal life. But you're missing the entire point because those things that you've got memorized, they speak of me. And they want to kill him because he claims to be him. Verse 40, and you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. It was their memorization. It was their study of Scripture that they placed their hope of salvation in. It was not in the Son of God, the coming Messiah. The Messiah that was in front of them. And their submission to Him. So they were unwilling to come to Him. I do not receive glory from men, Jesus says. But I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. I mean, again, Jesus is special. What makes Him special? What? He's God. Okay. In that, Jesus knew the hearts of all men. I don't. Jesus says, I know you, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. Why? He says, because I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Little difference between Jesus and John the Baptist. John the Baptist, nowhere in his ministry, claimed to be God. But from his birth, from his conception, from his 9 months of gestation period, it came out that he was from God, sent by God. Not God, but sent by. So in essence, as John the Baptist was out proclaiming the truth of repentance, he was claiming these in his own name. Jesus coming as God, claiming to be God, we can't have that. Even knocking it down a few steps today, people coming, proclaiming the truth of God's word. Thus saith the Lord. And just read it out of Scripture. Oh, I don't believe that. Why? When it comes down to it, it's because I don't want to. I mean, I like this or this or this, and if the Bible says that I need to do this or this, I'm unwilling. Why? Because you do not believe in him whom he sent. Jesus said, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? I've said before, I'm glad I'm mundane. I'm glad I'm average. I don't really like people coming up and saying, oh man, you did such a great job today. Luckily, I don't get that a whole lot, so I'm cool. Your guys have called me, so. But we like to get glory. I mean, we joked about a few weeks ago, the guy down in Atlanta, I think. You guys can't even get me the watch that I want. It's not a Rolex. You can buy it at Sam's Club. I don't get it. My purpose is to help guide you hand in hand to a better opportunity to look like the Savior. I don't want a multi-level marketing church. I don't want my seven chief executives who have their seven chief executives who have their seven chief executives and find you down at the bottom of this pyramid somewhere looking for help on how to better your relationship with God. Dan, how can I do that? How can I better my... I don't know, go to so-and-so. He's who you have. The Jews were trying to bring glory to themselves. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner. I tithe of everything. I fast 8 days a week. I do all this stuff. Where did God's compassion fall? On the little sinner. Forgive me, God, for I am a sinner. So how can they believe? Jesus is saying, how can you believe God? How can you expect to receive or give him glory when you're so interested in receiving glory unto yourself? Do you not think that I will accuse you before the Father? That's kind of changing tactics, isn't it? I mean, not only am I God, not only do I deserve his glory, not only do you need to believe me, whom he sent, but don't you think that I will not accuse you before the Father? And he says, I don't have to. I don't have to be your accuser. He says, the one who accuses you is Moses, in whom you have set your hope. Again, this is going to be something that takes them, how dare you? Jesus of Nazareth, Moses is my homie. He's standing up for me. Who was Moses? In this case, he was an example of the Old Testament. He was a testament to the Scriptures as the writer of the law. Moses accuses you. I'm taken to Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember the story? Lazarus, a beggar, eating the scraps off this guy's table, dies, finds himself, the Bible tells us, in Abraham's bosom. Paradise. The rich man, living his life unto himself, he too dies, as we all will, and finds himself in torment. Remember what he asks? Father Abraham, can I just have a few minutes to go back to warn my brothers of what awaits them? Or could you send Lazarus back? Because surely if someone goes back from the dead, they will hearken to these words. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't heed God's word, they won't heed somebody even if they come back from the dead. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote about me. Remember, they have all the scripture memorized. They are walking commentaries of the Old Testament. That's why the Apostle Paul, whenever he would go to a new city, he would visit first the synagogue. He would go to the Jews. Because he had all this knowledge of Old Testament scripture. But he also had the understanding of who Christ was. And so he would relate Scripture in that way. What did he get? You're twisting things. That's not what Scripture says. Sad thing is, most of the time, all you have to do is read it. If you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? I don't want to evangelize because people aren't going to listen to me. I can't handle rejection. If I wanted rejection, I'd become a car warranty salesman. Jesus, as God, evangelized more than anyone. Probably more than anybody that's ever lived. And at the same time, he was rejected more than we could ever imagine we would be rejected. And he was God. We have everything we need to know about God right here. Most of us hardly ever pick it up. I'm going to church. Shake the dust off from the week. If we truly believed something, would we not want to know it more? And that's a two-edged sword in all of this. Because again, there's people like the Jews of Jesus' day who know this probably better than a lot of us. But all the knowledge is here. Not here. And there's those of us who we have the knowledge here, but it's hard to find time to increase our knowledge here that will help that. Got a bunch of teenagers, young adults. Your life over the next few years will change. You're going to meet someone. Something inside of you is going to go. You're going to want to know this person more. I mean, why do you want to get to know him more? I mean, when I first met my wife, and I wanted to know her more. Because what if she was like my sister? What if she was like the neighbor girl next door? The more I got to know her, the more the knowledge increased here, and the little batter here got to a place to where I knew this was who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with. I wanted to know her favorite color. I wanted to know her favorite song. I wanted to know her favorite bug. And it's not you. Although she does like you a lot. Because I wanted to know everything about her. 38 years later, there's still things I'm learning, believe it or not. Forty plus years of being a child of God, of having this book as part of my life, there's still things I'm learning. Why? Because I have His Word abiding in me, and I believe Him whom He sent. That's how we have power in our Christian life. By recognizing that Jesus is not just some prophet. He was not just some good man that walked this earth. But realizing that He was God and had the power to save us. Father, Your Word is true. Lord, true beyond any expression of truth in this world. There is no greater truth than what we hold in our hands. Lord, and as we talked about when we first began the Gospel of John, Father, even other things in this world that we would say is an absolute truth, like laws of science, Lord, a law of science cannot be changed unless You change it. The law of gravity is constant until You make it not. But Lord, there is one thing in this world that even You cannot change, and that's Your Word, because Your Word expresses who You are, and You cannot change. Father, there's many people out in this world today that do not know Christ. They do not acknowledge Him as God. But Lord, we know the truth. We have the truth abiding within us. May we show our love to others by giving them the truth. Whether there be our family, our friends, or complete strangers. We have the truth within us. May we express You through our communication of the gospel. Father, as we continue on to a time of the Lord's Supper, we pray, Lord, that You would continue to bless us this morning, for it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Because